Dear Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this morning is Transfiguration Sunday. It is the end of the season of Epiphany. And the season of Epiphany is a season to reveal to us the divine nature of Jesus. It starts with the wise men as they came and brought the gifts to Jesus and acknowledged him as the King of Kings. Continued at his baptism when the voice of God spoke at Jesus' baptism to Jesus and said, "You are my son, my beloved, with you I'm well pleased." It continued with some of the miracles Jesus did, and finally today it concludes, as every season of Epiphany concludes, with the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. Our text begins with an odd saying. It says, now about eight days after these sayings. Again, one of the things you realize in the scripture is often numbers are not just chronology, they are theology. They tell us something deeper. And the number eight tells us something about what's about to transpire. God created the world in 7 days. He rested on the seventh day, which was Saturday, the Sabbath. Now the eighth day is the day of resurrection. In many ways, what is about to transpire, this verse says, what's coming next is kind of like the resurrection. It's a story that's going to reveal to us the divine nature of God. So now, about 8 days after these sayings. And it goes on then to say again, it was like a resurrection. Then in verse 29, it says, while they were praying, the appearance of Jesus changed and he became dazzling white. And again, this dazzling white appearance is a sign of the glory of God. It's a sign of God's presence. And it doesn't come from Jesus being in the presence of God. It comes from inside of him, revealing to us that he himself has that divine nature of God within him. And it takes us back to that first lesson that we read about Moses, because it was in Moses when he went on Mount Sinai, when he was in the presence of God, his face began to shine, and it was, we're told, a reflection of God's glory. And in fact, after that, each time he went into the tabernacle, into the presence of God, he would come out and put on that veil because he had been in the presence of God. And so now we have this story of Jesus. Jesus, just standing on his own, becomes dazzling white, and Epiphany, a revelation. If you didn't know it before, you gotta know it now. Jesus is not just a man, he is the Son of God. The full glory of God resides within his human frame. Now, one of the important details that it tells us about this story is that it happens while Jesus and his disciples are praying. There, God is revealed. And you know, one of the realities is that God continues to reveal himself today. Often, it's in the midst of our prayers. Often, it's when we're taking that time to talk and to listen and to look for God that he reveals himself to us even today. I know I've heard that voice of God bringing healing in the midst of sickness. I've heard that voice of God direct me in my own calls, directing me here to this congregation as pastor. I've heard that voice of God as it's reached out to men in prison, in Kairos, and all of a sudden they understood God and their lives in a whole new way. I've seen it in 12-step programs as people addicted to alcohol were able to, by the power of Christ, let aside their addiction and lead new lives. And often all of this is grounded in prayer. So we may not have seen Jesus ourselves on the Mount of Transfiguration, but it doesn't mean we haven't seen his glory. doesn't mean we haven't seen the transforming power of God, whether it's, again, in AA or whether it's in Kairos or whether it's in our own lives as God has touched our lives with the power of His grace. And so God's glory continues to manifest itself in our world today. Well, following this dazzling appearance, we're told that Moses and Elijah appear. And again, these aren't just two random people. This is once again a revelation that tells us Jesus is the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. The law and the prophets, that's the way God revealed Himself to His people in the past, revealed Himself by giving them the law on Mount Sinai through Moses, and it was through the prophets that He spoke His word over and over again. But even more than that, Moses and Elijah also represent figures who were to appear and that they talked about the last or the coming of the day of the Lord. Moses at the end of his life said, "There is going to be one who comes, a prophet, who is like me." And he says, "Listen to him." And then you have today's story, that voice of God speaking from the cloud. And what does it tell us to do about Jesus? Listen to him. That voice is that fulfillment of Moses saying, there's a prophet who's going to come we're supposed to listen to. And then Elijah, we're told in Malachi 4:5 that before the day of the Lord comes, Elijah will return. So here you have the prophet we're told to listen to. We have Elijah appearing who has to come before the Messiah. And as these two men appear on the mountain with Jesus, it's screaming at us, if you know your Old Testament. It's screaming, this is not just a man who has some glory within him. This is the one who came to fulfill those Old Testament prophecies. So that appearance of Moses and Elijah sets the table that tells us now God's kingdom is ready to come, and Jesus is the one who is going to bring it to us. Now, as we go along this reading from our gospel, it tells us that Jesus was talking about his departure. And what's interesting, if you go back into your Greek, the weird word for departure is the same word for exodus. And so once again, Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration is seen as the fulfillment of the exodus in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, that was the saving event of God. He took his people and he saved them from slavery. He saved them from the angel of death, led them out of Egypt to the promised land of Canaan, the promised land of Israel. And now Jesus comes and he is talking about his departure, his exodus. But he's not leading us into a physical land. He's leading us out of the slavery of sin. He's leading us to the promise of eternal life, our heavenly home. And so his exodus, his departure, when he gives his life on the cross in Jerusalem, is going to be the new, the ultimate saving event of God within our world and within history. And just as the people of the Old Testament were saved from the angel of death by the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts, so we are saved today by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who shed his blood on the cross for our sins to be forgiven. So all of this, as that word exodus, departure, is there in our text, so easy to just skip over it, but it has all of the imagery of the way God saved in the Old Testament, and now the New Covenant, the way He is going to save us through the blood of Christ. And after He was telling about His departure, then Peter says, "Let's stay here and build three dwellings." And the text says Peter didn't know what he was saying. You know, Peter, if you remember, it was just a little bit earlier that Jesus had told Peter and the disciples, I'm going to have to go into Jerusalem and suffer and die. And it was Peter who said, no, Lord, you can't go to Jerusalem to suffer and die. And Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. Peter, you don't understand. You thought maybe then he would begin to understand, but here he is again on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus has to depart. He needs to go down the mountain. He needs to go to Jerusalem because the exodus, the salvation is going to happen in Jerusalem on the cross. And Peter is saying, let's stay here. It's so glorious here. It's so wonderful to just see your glory shining. What a mountaintop experience. Let's just hold on to it. You could almost hear Jesus again saying, get behind me, Satan. My mission isn't to stay on the mountain, it's to go down the mountain and to offer my life as a sacrifice. That's how the new covenant, that's how salvation is going to happen. Not by staying on the mountain, but by coming down to the cross. And so it is with us, just as Jesus had a mission not only to be inspired on the mountain, he had the mission to come down and make his sacrifice on the cross. And we are called to make our own sacrifices as followers of Jesus. You know, I love the mission statement that's printed in our bulletin, printed in our newsletter. It tells us, what is our mission? To spread the good news to all through joyful worship and service, so that others may believe and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, joyful worship. We need the mountaintop experiences. We need to come and hear the good news for us. God has been gracious to us sinners. And each and every time we see that cross, it should be a mountaintop experience. We don't deserve it, but God gives us salvation. We don't deserve it, but God forgives us and loves us beyond our deserving. And so each time we come together for worship, it should be a mountaintop experience, the most joyful hour of the week, because we hear good news of God's love, God's grace beyond our enduring. But our mission isn't just to come and gather here and worship. Our mission is to then go down the mountain. Our mission is to be engaged in joyful service as well. And so that's how we fulfill our mission, just as Jesus needed to come down the mountain and fulfill his mission, that we might take up our cross and follow him. You know, what's interesting, again, the voice of God speaking from the cloud, just as at the baptism of Jesus. But if you look carefully, the voice is a little bit different at his baptism than it is here on the Mount of Transfiguration. At the baptism, it's a word to Jesus. You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. But in the cloud, he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to us. This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. Listen to him. And you know, when we listen to Jesus, he has so much to tell us. To take up our cross and follow him. To realize, yes, we need to go up to the mountain. We need to come together for worship. We need to celebrate God's grace, to have those mountaintop experiences, to get away from the world and celebrate our God of grace and love. But then, as with Jesus, we need to go down the mountain to serve. And so it is. It always starts with worship. Like Peter, James, and John, we need to have the vision. We need to see Jesus for who he is. Because it's only when we see Jesus for who he is, as God incarnate, can the good message, the good news of the gospel take hold in our hearts. This is the one, God himself, who gives his life for us. And it's as we encounter God on the mountain, as we hear the good news in our own hearts, then we learn to love God in return. Then we learn to listen to God. And what is it that Jesus tells us? Love one another as I have loved you. He says, what is love? It's the Good Samaritan, that we don't just love our friends, but we love anybody in need. It's Jesus who gives us the story of Matthew 25. As you've done it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it to me. So listen to what he has to say. And finally, when we listen to him, we will then come down the mountain and seek to love others as he has first loved us. So go up the mountain to be inspired. Come down the mountain to serve. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Lord God, open our eyes. Open our eyes. What a joyful moment to set aside the Super Bowl, to set aside the distractions of the world and celebrate your love for us. Can we see your glory? Help us glimpse it, Lord, that you love each and every one of us. Lord, as you revealed yourself to your disciples, reveal yourself to us. Give us the mountaintop experience of grace, because only as we are filled with your grace can we take up our cross, come down the mountain, and serve you in the world. Bless us to that end. In Jesus' name, amen.